The Turkish economy, with the coup attempt apparently put down by the elected government now. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Forces loyal to the government of Turkey have been rounding up perceived opponents of the regime after a military-backed coup seems to have failed over the weekend. This includes thousands of soldiers and police officers. But the Turkish economy continues to function. Its currency, the lira, fell 4.6% on Friday as the news broke, but recovered about half of that in trading today. Stock market in Istanbul is down more than 8%. But what does this mean for Turkey's future, even Europe's future? Ian Bremmer is president and co-founder of the Eurasia Group. Ian, morning to you.
Hi, David.
You know, before all this happened, Turkey was trying to join the European Union. One can presume that's going to be delayed, that process.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's really a non-starter. I mean, I don't think there's anyone among the main European Union countries that believed that Turkey was ever going to make it towards full membership. But the wedge that's being driven between, you know, rule of law, common values, I mean, all the things that brought the EU together as their initial experiment, those look the farthest they've ever been for the Turks at this point.
Yeah, and within the EU, a coup attempt. I mean, that would have been astonishing had Turkey been a member.
Oh, there's no question. And also, I mean, the fact that literally within 24 hours of the coup attempt failing, you've got 2,700 judges that have been sacked. I mean, you know, it's not as if suddenly Erdogan found out, oh, all of these people, we realize they're guilty of something. I mean, there's going to be an extraordinary backlash. Erdogan sees himself as Putin. He wants to create an Islamist Putinist system in Turkey. Now, it's unlikely he's going to be able to pull it off. Turkey's political institutions are ultimately much stronger than those in Russia, and Erdogan's own popularity much weaker than that of Putin. But nonetheless, the direction the country is headed is 180 degrees in opposition to pretty much everything the EU has historically stood for.
And how, Ian, you think a lot about this. How does this turmoil in Turkey over the weekend and today fit into the overall picture of the future of the European Union?
Well, I mean, the weakness of Europe is coming from a lot of common aspects, right? I mean, first, all of the instability across the Middle East with these governments falling apart, the failed states, the refugee crisis is much greater in the Middle East, but it's all heading towards Turkey and the Europe. Terrorism, same thing, much far more deaths in the Middle East, but really destabilizing Europe and the reaction, the populist backlash, especially as you see a lacking legitimacy of many of the established governments across these countries and, you know, the hollowing out of middle and working classes across Europe. That's creating the instability not only that led to Erdogan and a failed military coup in that country, but also the attacks we've seen in Nice in the past few days, also the surprise vote for Brexit, and we're going to see a lot more of that. It's really the risks across Europe, the most important ally of the United States since World War II. That's ultimately what we're seeing play out on the headlines today.
The Eurasia Group uses political scientists to monitor political risk around the world. Ian Bremmer started the thing. Ian, thank you.
My pleasure, David. Talk soon.
In early trading in the North American time zones, the S&P 500 was down a point, but the Nasdaq Composite was up a point. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up about 10 points in early trading. Interest rates are trending down, with the yield on the government's 10-year note down below 1.56%. For a sense of the psychology, let's check in with Karen Cavanaugh, the market strategist at Voya Investment Management. Karen, morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, it looks like market participants are embracing some risk here again today.
Yes, and that actually is a healthy sign. I know that we've had a lot of geopolitical risk lately with the Brexit, continued fallout from the Brexit, Nice, and now Turkey. But investors are actually looking past the geopolitical risk because they know that does create some short-term volatility. But at the end of the day, it's really the company earnings that guide the markets. And we are starting second quarter earnings season, so I think that's what investors are really going to be looking at.
Yes, actual profits from actual companies along with the accompanying guidance for the future. We had some very strong numbers from the second largest toy company in America, Hasbro, today. But then we'll, of course, be getting some bigger companies.
Right. I think right now a lot of the financials are reporting, and financials have been a little bit of a weak spot because they've been dealing with those ultra low rates and inability to make money in such a low rate environment. And the financials, they still look like they're down year over year. But the good news is a lot of them are beating expectations. And overall, in terms of earnings growth, it looks like first quarter may have been the trough and that we could maybe squeak out some positive growth for the second quarter. And that bodes well for the market.
Bolstered by that employment report that we had earlier this month. Karen Cavanaugh at Voya Investment Management, thank you.
You're very welcome.
It pays to be the brains inside of so many of the internet-linked devices grafted onto us. There's news today that microprocessor designer Arm, based in Cambridge, England, is being purchased by SoftBank of Japan for $32 billion. Arm makes powerful chips that use battery power very sparingly. SoftBank is a telecom conglomerate. With the UK set to leave the EU, the British pound has been falling, making UK companies cheaper and therefore more attractive to foreign companies. The electric car venture called Faraday Future is looking at building a factory on the old Navy base in Vallejo, California. That Bay Area city has been searching for new vitality ever since the Navy pulled out back in 1996. Amid the global financial mess of 2008, you may have missed that Vallejo went bankrupt. This Faraday startup is talking about investing hundreds of millions of dollars in creating hundreds of jobs. Residents are hopeful but wary, Sam Harnett reports.
All kinds of people have come to Vallejo promising the moon. Like a Southern California woman proposing a movie studio. She was later indicted for fraud. Then there was a spiritual headquarters that turned out to be a total scam. Vallejo blogger Mark Garman is tired of it.
You have a city like this that gets in the headlines for the bankruptcy. You know, of course there's going to be people that come along, opportunists.
They remind long-term resident Sharon McGriff Payne of the con artist in The Music Man.
I can deal with this trouble, friends, with a wave of my hand, this very hand. Please observe me, if you will. I'm Professor Harold Hill, and I'm here to organize the River City Boys Band.
Is Faraday for real? McGriff Payne wonders.
I was struck when I saw their website. Something just flashed in me, and I thought, is this too slick?
Faraday is not a known quantity, like, say, Tesla. It's less than 2 years old and hasn't even started making cars yet. Dina Lang, a local realtor, says residents asked thoughtful questions of Faraday at a recent meeting.
The public asked about parks, waterfront access, tax basis. They were intelligent, articulate questions. They were welcoming, but they were also cautious.
We're taking a very incremental approach with them.
This is Vallejo's economic development director, Andrea Aus. She's optimistic about Faraday and says the city is being savvy during negotiations. It's making Faraday share valuable survey data it gathers about the Navy base. And Faraday has paid the city a non-refundable $200,000 fee.
If they go away, we will at least have something.
Faraday would be great, says Ken Fortner, owner of Vallejo's new Mare Island Brewing Company. But it isn't necessary.
We don't need a Hail Mary pass at this point in Vallejo. We're already moving the ball down the field.
If not Faraday, he says, someone else will surely come along.
Oh, a band will do it, my friends. Oh, yes, I mean a boys' band. Do you hear me?
In Vallejo, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
Republicans are flocking to Cleveland this week for the National Party Convention, which officially kicks off in about 3 hours here. Cleveland is a city of economic contrasts, grinding poverty alongside great institutions like the art museums, the Cleveland Clinic, Case Western Reserve University. Cleveland used to be an American shopping mecca before sliding into decline after World War II. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is there now. Nancy, there's been a renewal downtown?
You know, I am seeing so many people here who are so proud of their city. Cleveland is totally dressed up for this. The streets around the arena where the convention is being held are festooned with lights. People are sitting out at cafes. They're having dinner. They're drinking. But Clevelanders also are kind of wondering, well, what's in it for me? Am I going to maybe make a little extra money? I talked to a bartender who said his manager said he might make an extra couple $1,000s this week. I talked to the mayor of a suburb of Cleveland who was saying, look, you know, we added 1,000 extra hotel beds for this convention. That might help us attract conventions in the future, and the benefits of that will trickle down to my suburb.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Cleveland, thank you. You can hear more of our convention coverage by hitting play on our pop-up convention podcast. It's called Politics Inside Out, where we explore the gap between the insiders and the outsiders in politics and our economy. You can subscribe for free wherever podcasts are sold, or go to marketplace.org/inside out. And there it is. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.